In its earliest form, the aristocrats dominated the state. They were the cavalry. They were the superior arm. That is, they alone could hold high office. The council, which was a small body of at most maybe several hundred men, could dictate the agenda of the assembly. The assembly was summoned very infrequently. Those will give you these restricted governments of oligarchy, democracy, aristocracy, which Aristotle studies in his Politics. In other instances where the assembly asserts its position and turns the council into a representation or a reflection of the assembly, and this happens first and foremost in Athens, then that council becomes essentially nothing more than a committee, an executive committee for the assembly to assure proper meetings and that business is in order and the assembly meets four times a month, whatever it is. In those instances, you move towards democracy. And Aristotle understood this in the 4th century BC, and he also tied it very closely to military service, which was an extremely important point about Greek city-states. That is, your position in the state depended on your value to the state, foremost, your ability to defend it. When you had cavalry as the dominant arm, you had aristocracies. When you had the heavy-armed infantry, the hoplite, the traditional Greek armored warrior, you see, you had oligarchies and property classes ruling. When you had a navy, which was rowed by the citizens, then you had democracy, and that's what you have in Athens. So don't confuse a city-state, a polis, with the notion of democracy. Democracy is a peculiar form of government within a Greek city-state, and it's peculiar to Athens. In fact, the Athenians invented it. And in fact, they have democracy before they even had a word to describe it. And that's a result of some remarkable developments in the 6th century BC. The other important point about a polis or city-state, and I do insist on using the Greek word because city-state is a bit deceptive, is that the polis was more than just a city. In fact, in the early archaic age, it's not very impressive at all. And compared to Near Eastern cities, you wouldn't think much of it. The earliest Greek city would be a high point, an Acropolis with its temples, where you would run to in times of refuge, and it would have a marketplace, an agora, where public life would take place. That would be markets, that would be political life. What made a polis distinct from other cities we've studied in the previous lectures is that a polis was a place where the citizens met in assembly and passed laws that applied to all the citizens. It's where the rule of law took place. It's where what a Greek would call eunomia, ordered life, could move forward. And that meant the ability of Greek citizens to pass laws that were binding on themselves. And this notion that the city-state allowed for the rule of law and through the rule of law justice, dike, is reflected in the poems of Hesiod, who is the poet who writes after Homer. And that's an extremely important theme in Hesiod. Dike, justice, the way, the proper way. Only a city-state supplies that. And that's what leads Aristotle to his comment that when he says man is a political animal in the Politics, what he says is, ton zo on politikon, man is a being of the polis. Not political in the modern English sense, but that is, he is a resident of the polis. He is someone who understands that going in, he must pass laws, he must obey these laws. Now, this is a very different way of governing oneself than from what we'd seen in the previous civilizations. We have here a kind of form of government or governments, a notion of the rule of law that did separate the Greeks from these older kingdoms and traditions in Asia Minor in the Near East. And it's that type of tradition that the Greeks carry to the shores of Asia Minor in their cities in Ionia and on the southern shores. And it's that notion of civic organizations and institutions that will play such a dominant role in the classical period. Now, this was possible for a variety of reasons. Greek city-states, polis, the plural, were small. Plato always thought that an ideal city-state was one in which each citizen could recognize the other by sight. They were never very large. Athens, at the height of the classical age, may have been 250,000 strong. That included slaves, women, children, resident aliens. Most city-states were much smaller, with a citizen body of 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 adult males at best. This was true of Sparta, which had a small citizen body and a large subject population under its control. These city-states evolved in isolation when there was no threat from the outside. Therefore, the communities could grow up in isolation. They did not have to organize into more effective kingdoms. They did not have to organize society to carry out the kind of irrigation projects or building programs we saw in the civilizations of the Bronze Age. So they're much smaller, much more discrete communities, and that's an important point to keep in mind. In the formative stages of Greek civilization, when those institutions were created, the Greeks lived more or less in isolation and can evolve them on their own.